Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
On Wednesday, the Minister for Justice signed commencement orders that gave powers and authority to the new gambling regulator. So the changes will see new regulations and scrutiny of the industry. We're joined now by Anne-Marie Caulfield, who is the CEO of the Gambling Regulatory Authority of Ireland. And Anne-Marie, you're very welcome. Thank you for coming in. So can you talk us through what forms of gambling, first of all, you'll be in charge of regulating?
Okay, so it's quite broad. So it's all forms of gambling. So betting, both on-site and online. It will be gaming, both on-site and online, and also lotteries.
But not the national lottery.
But not the national lottery, indeed. That's not part of our remit. So in addition to the gambling for to consumers, it'll also be gambling to gambling will be licensed with us, business to business, I should say. So companies, for example, who program for games online and so on will have a license with us, and also companies who provide, say, the machinery that you would see in an amusement arcade, they'll also be licensed with us, again, to ensure that they're technically operating to appropriate standards.
Now, there's a huge challenge, because just this week we saw that estimate that there are 130,000 people who could have issues, gambling addictions in this country. It's a huge number, isn't it?
It is a huge number. That was the first piece of research that we commissioned with the ESRI, and it came out at 10 times higher than had previously been thought. So 1 in 30 people, or 3.3% of the Irish population, have, you know, significant gambling harms in their lives.
And there's very little available to them in terms of treatment. I know the Rutland opened up a programme which can take 26 people a year on a residential programme. We have huge deficits in that area, don't we?
Yes, I heard with great interest that interview with the Rutland Centre. There are a number of areas that you can receive treatment. If you go to www.grai.ie, we launched a new website this week. And so there's a number of different facilities that do provide with gambling treatment. I suppose the other thing is there's other assistance there in terms of blocking apps on your phone, blocking apps on your PC that we have listed there. Also in terms of some of the banks, AIB has introduced where if you want to block payments to gambling companies, they can do that. They have a dedicated line for that now. Revolut have it, and we're working with other banks. We're hopeful that they'll be able to do the same very soon.
But in terms of funding treatment and expanding treatment, what role will the regulatory authority have in that regard, if any?
So one of the things that we will be doing is setting up a social impact fund. We'll be entirely self-financing ourselves, but this is above and beyond that. So it's a levy which will be placed on all operators. The minister will decide on the extent of that levy. In some countries is 1%, in some countries it's 2%. And that will be set aside for things like research, education and awareness, and put towards the treatment of addictions to gambling.
So that levy is separate to the fee that these companies will pay to the regulator, which eventually, when they all come on board as they're renewing their licences, you'll become self-funding through that fee. Is that right?
That's right.
Levy then is separate to that?
The levy is separate. It's a social impact fund to address the adverse impact of gambling and to assist people in the scenarios that you've described, and also for education and awareness.
And what rates are those levies and fees set at?
So we have done extensive work in the background. We've reached out to other regulators right across Europe in relation to this, and also have taken legal advice. And we have a proposal to put to the minister now. Our seven-person authority was just appointed a couple of days ago, so we need them to review it and then onwards to the minister. We do have a process to go through in terms of consultations on them as well.
So they haven't been set yet, is it, or decided on yet?
No, they haven't been set, but we have done a lot of work in terms of what would make us self-financing and what would be necessary to fund the social impact fund.
Okay, now one of the big changes would be around advertising betting, isn't that right? There is a form of ban in place at the moment, Anne-Marie, isn't there?
The ban will come into place when entities are licensed, and that ban will apply then from 5:30 in the morning till 9 at night. And just to remind people why that's been introduced, it's to protect children from gambling advertising and the adverse impact of gambling. It's estimated that if you start gambling as a child, you're twice as likely to develop an issue with gambling harm in later life. Mm-hmm. So it's important to protect children. So that's one of the restrictions.
So we will see ads during that period as all of these entities come up for licensing. Is that right?
That's correct. It is attached to your obligations as a licensed entity. Mm-hmm. So it will be as they're licensed. We have designed our licensing regime. We are building our ICT systems at the moment, and we would hope to open for licensing on a phased basis, because there are licenses out there and we will have to coordinate with our colleagues in revenue, for example. Later this year, though, we hope to open for a license.
And this covers online as well, online ads, right?
It does indeed. And indeed, in terms of, you know, cross-selling, for example, companies, say, for example, if somebody's betting on horse racing or on football, they won't be allowed to push them ads for online casinos or online slots or so on. Mm-hmm. Because, again, that's, you know, something that that multiple forms of gambling introduces particular dangers and harms.
But if you have an online company that is operating out of another country but selling into Ireland, so it mightn't be regulated in Ireland in that sense, or how does that work and how can you control those situations?
Okay, so first and foremost, if you're operating in Ireland, regardless of where you're based, you must be licensed with us. That's
okay.
A legal obligation.
So you can't take money from anybody here without being licensed in Ireland. Is that
you must be licensed in Ireland. Now, obviously, we'll have to be very vigilant about the black market activity. In the first instance, I suppose, education and awareness, because, like, you know, to give your account details to an unlicensed entity would be a very unsafe thing to do. You don't know where they will end up. Whereas the entities licensed with us, financial checks would be one of the three pillars of checks we will put them through before they get a license. Mm-hmm. So I suppose that's the first thing. The second thing is we will be scanning with software to identify unlicensed entities and to take them down. And we're looking at a whole range of measures. We just have a director of enforcement has started with us 3 weeks ago. But a whole range of measures in terms of, you know, collaboration with other regulators, collaboration with social media providers and so on.
So your enforcement team will be in-house with you, with the regulator under that function?
So we have a head of enforcement at the moment appointed with very considerable experience previously with the DPP and the Office of Corporate Enforcement in-house. We also have a legal team. We've procured that as one of the areas that we've set up. But we'll also collaborate closely with An Garda Síochána, with the DPP and with other entities, other regulators.
Okay.
We are signing MOUs with them across Europe as well.
So now we have the ads covered there, and the entities that might be taking money and not regulated here, they won't be allowed to do that anymore. What about offering incentives, free money, free bets? Will that be gone too?
So in terms of inducements, there is still the ability to offer general inducements to the public, but in relation to specific inducements targeted at individuals, that will go. So for example...
So they can still offer free bets. What are they not allowed to do?
So they're not allowed to target a particular individual and to offer them specific inducements. So in the past, if somebody was gambling excessively, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there would be situations where there were pushed free bets, where there would be cross-selling, where there'd be offered VIP treatment, tickets to matches and so on. So none of those sort of incentives will be permissible under the new regime. That will not be possible.
What about other competitions, like the Bauer Media Group? They own stations including News Talk and Today FM. They have that cash machine competition running on air. Do you have any regulatory power around that?
So they will have to come into us for a licence in the same way as any other entity. And so they'll be, you know, bound by the legislation in the same way as others will be.
So that means an advertising ban then on that?
There is an advertising ban generally for licensees. Now, in terms of the specifics as to what constitutes advertising, there are powers delegated to our seven-person authority. Everything can't be in primary legislation because it's already a huge piece of work. But they will be setting guidelines, codes of practice and so on, and all licensees must adhere to those. So that will be part of the work that we'll be doing over the next number of months, is setting out specifically what sort of conduct we expect from licensed entities.
Okay, now there'll be people listening to this who maybe run the local GAA lotto competition. Will those be impacted by these new powers?
So first and foremost, there are exemptions in relation to, you know, GAA and other entities, charitable and philanthropic, who do fantastic work. So, you know, there's thresholds under which they will not require any license at all, you know, in recognition of the work they do. Once it goes over that threshold, they will come into us for a license. But we would expect that it would be a streamlined regime, and, you know.
So there'll be a separate one for charitable competitions.
There will.
And what is the threshold? Is the threshold the prize money level, or how is that worked out?
Yeah, so the threshold is the prize money, and it's also the price of the tickets.
Mm-hmm. What are they set at? Can you tell us?
Around 3,000.
Right, so any prize greater than 3,000, they will have to be regulated by yourselves.
Yes, so they'll have to come into us for a licence.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on how often they have their draws and so on as well. So there are certain exemptions there. It will be a lighter touch regime for them than it will be, you know, for others. But at the same time, we want people to have confidence that when they're, you know, contributing to those draws, that they are well regulated. And just to say, we will be going live with our on a phase basis, so our online and our on-site will be first, and in terms of the philanthropic and the charitable, that will be later in our phased approach, so probably 2027 before we get to that sector. And we are liaising with the charities regulator to make sure it's as streamlined as possible in terms of information that they'd already have, regulation that they already carry out.
And you can levy pretty hefty fines here, can't you?
Yeah, they're very substantial fines in terms of enforcement. So the fines would range from a licence can be suspended fully or in part. There's fines of up to 20 million or 10% of turnover. And there's also can be consequences for individuals. So, for example, if a child is involved, and this is, of course, would be taken through the courts, but there could be imprisonment of up to 8 years, 5 years for other offences.
Mm-hmm.
And also in terms of accountable officers, particular individuals who hold positions of responsibility within the organisation.
They can be held personally responsible.
They'll come in and be vetted by us, you know, that they're fit and proper people to hold those positions.
All right, so an interesting year or so ahead for the Gambling Regulatory Authority. And thank you to Anne-Marie Caulfield, its CEO. Thank you for coming in. Coming up next, we're going to be live in Australia, where Tropical Cyclone Alfred is bearing down on the Gold Coast. And after the break, should bonus points for higher level maths be curtailed?
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.